So there you have it. We have this juxtaposition, so you can remember this text. The gospel writer is presenting it this way. We have one outlook, Mary giving over getting, and then we have Judas. Judas is getting over giving. Let's take a poll here in the congregation. How many of you this morning are with Judas, that getting is over giving? Nobody's raising your hand? Oh, all right. How many of you are with Mary, that giving is over getting? Yeah, everyone. I hope that's where we want to land today. But let me say this. There's a reason that every single one of us can fall into the camp of getting over giving. When times get difficult, when resources are short, we can become disillusioned. And we can become people that actually fall into Judas's camp, where we get and forget to give. I actually think that's what's happening with Judas here in the gospel text. See, Judas joined Jesus and his disciples because he thought Jesus was bringing an earthly kingdom, that there would be wealth and popularity and fame, and Judas was on board. But then right around the time of Bethany, the journey to Bethany, and the time of the Passover, Judas and the disciples were beginning to figure out that the crowds were going away, they were starting to dissipate, and they were also recognizing that the leaders were going to put Jesus to death. And at that point, you see, resources probably became scarce, and Judas thought to himself some questions. Why would I ever give at a moment like this? Why not get? Why not steal? Anybody remember what was happening 5 years ago? 5 years ago, I hate to bring it up, but that was the start of the pandemic. It was Friday the 13th. We decided to not have services the next weekend. I remember that day like it was yesterday. But what I remember about that time is that there was a moment in which there were few resources, specifically about toilet paper. Do you remember that time? It was as if people, for the very first time, realized that toilet paper didn't grow on trees. My goodness. And that there was limited supply of toilet paper, this sort of thing. And what did we see when resources got slim and things got tight and people became disillusioned? Get overcame giving, didn't it? I remember seeing someone pulling out of Costco. The back of their truck was so packed full of toilet paper, and one package fell over the top. That's what life was like about 5 years ago. Dear friends, getting over giving, I'm glad everyone answered their givers over getting. That's healthy. Getting over giving is not healthy. How do I know that? It's not just a biblical position, but actually even secular people are beginning to discover this. Jordan Granham did a study a few years ago about the topic of getting and giving. He wanted to research the brains of people to see how the blood flowed when they gave or when they got something, to see which one's actually better for human beings. So he set up a bunch of participants on something that's called an fMRI machine. It measures the blood flow in the brain from the brain to certain blood vessels, this sort of thing. And the purpose of measuring this was to see when do people actually are the most stimulated and the happiest. And so the many participants that took part in this played a computer game in which they would play the game, and if they did well, they received rewards. And if they received rewards, they were given two options: to keep the reward for themselves or to donate their reward, a cash reward, to somebody else. And you know what's amazing? The research shows the scientists around Jordan and his team discovered that actually our blood flows more when we give, not just get. That's amazing. So the next time you're disillusioned, the next time things are tight, the next time you're in a rut, maybe the very best thing to do is to give to somebody else. Dear friends, when we give with a wonderful, joyful heart, it's never wasted. And yes, it sounds like this was an exorbitant amount of money, $60,000 on perfume for Jesus. But let me convince you here this morning that that was a beautiful gift. Smells stick with you, don't they? Sometimes a smell of a rose can take you back to that first date or that special moment. Sometimes a smell like your grandmother's perfume takes you back to her living room and the full love and the acceptance that she gave you as a child. They say that words go to the thinking part of the brain. Smell goes to the emotional part of the brain. And that's why when we smell our grandmother's perfume, we have nostalgia and we want to go back to that moment where she loved us and we had full acceptance. Perhaps, and I think this is what the case is in this text, Mary knew what was coming ahead with Jesus. She knew that just in 6 days he would die on the cross. Mary was one of those faithful disciples. Most of them didn't get it. She knew the cross was coming. And perhaps the thought was, in the Garden of Gethsemane, with the sweat of blood coming from Jesus, perhaps he'd have a whiff from his feet to take away some of the pain and what he would endure. And perhaps on the cross, as he was breathing his last and out of all resources, perhaps Jesus had a whiff of the perfume on his feet. And he realized there was one person that understood him and what he was doing, and one person about getting. Jesus says something extraordinary about Mary, not said about any other person. It's not in John's gospel, it's in Matthew and Mark's gospels. Jesus says this: wherever the gospels are proclaimed in all the world, what she has done will be remembered by everyone. This act, John chapter 12, amazing. Now, that's not said of anyone else, but it is said of Mary. Why? I think Jesus endorsed her strategy. Jesus would raise his hand, giving over getting. The kingdom of God is not about hoarding. The kingdom of God is not about clutter. It's not about getting. The kingdom of God is about giving. Then tokimeku happens. Sparks of joy. If you're in a rut, consider Mary's method. Sparks of joy, tokimeku, give over get. Amen.